things are possible.
Welcome to Voice of Possibility with Reverend Jonathan Kwabla Africa Hali of ICGC Possibility Worship Temple, Dansuman, Accra, Ghana. This message of faith is life-transforming, anointed to help you discover your right positioning and mission in God's kingdom. It will help you break from past negative perceptions and empower you to lead an overcoming life. Now, receive Reverend Afrique.
So today, I bring you God's word in a series. Who wants to be poor? That's the first question. The second question, who wants to be rich? I have observed that the church's response to these two questions. Who wants to be rich? Who wants to be poor? If I ask you, who wants to be rich on a Sunday like this? You've come to church and I'm preaching. And the question is, who wants to be rich? Your response will not be an exciting response. Your response will be skeptical, questioning. That is your true response. Am I not a church boy? I know our responses. You are careful. Really? Does somebody want to be rich at all? If your response to wanting to be rich is indifferent, who cares? Till forever, some of us think that we are only working to eat and to live. And for church people, it's so worse that we are not thinking to become rich. It's not an agenda. It's not a vision. So the question, who wants to be rich, will actually be fought against by church people. I pray over the church that the blood of Jesus shall not be in vain. That the cross of Jesus shall not be wasted. And that the death of Jesus shall not be in vain. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 18. I read. Riches and honor are with me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. Who is speaking? In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom. Wisdom was captured. Wisdom was personified. And wisdom was speaking. I urge all of us to read this week, read Proverbs chapter 8, the place of wisdom. And one of the things associated with wisdom is wealth. Amen. So God speaking says, riches and honor are with me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. Riches that endure. Riches that last. Generational riches are with me. And righteousness. That is to say that if you embrace my righteousness, if you embrace my righteousness, if you embrace my righteousness, if you have my righteousness, you are guaranteed durable riches. Proverbs 8:18 is telling us that one can be rich, one can be righteous equally, and these are with God. Quickly, what is to be rich? To be rich, what does that mean? What is to be poor? Because you cannot be talking about riches and not talk equally about poor or the poor. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come so that you have more than enough. Abundant life. I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So when Jesus said this, of course, there's a process that he put in place in order to achieve this. Amen. So, my dear, what is being rich? To be rich is to have more than enough to spare on a consistent basis. If you are not doing that yet, and you are saved, then something is wrong somewhere. If you are not doing that yet, and you are saved, then something is wrong somewhere. What does it mean to be poor? Poverty. Please listen to this definition of poverty. Poverty is not to have at all, but not to have enough on a regular basis. And the basis of this definition is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 1. The Macedonia churches, who were described as physically poor, yet were giving. What was making them give? They had something. So poverty is not to have. Poverty is not to have anything at all, but not to have enough to spare on a regular basis. Please, let me help somebody. To be rich is not evil. Get it. Church man, church woman, to be rich is not evil. What is evil is to be poor. Now, a case for who wants to be rich. I want to justify why, as a Christian, you ought to be rich. I'd like you to know that Jesus, our Savior, had to go to the cross, not only to save us from our sin, but he also had poverty in mind, to eradicate poverty. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. This is my permanent understanding of the cross effect. My personal, permanent understanding of why Jesus went to the cross. And it is captured in this. My salvation is meaningless unless it is linked up with the total liberation or well-being of my physical body, my social status. Your redemption is incomplete until you are totally free from poverty. This is my take till forever. Type of spirituality we can be. And some of us hide in the spirit, forgetting our poor, wretched status. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Again, when we read the scriptures, we have our own interpretation. For example, if you hear the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, does it mean anything at all? And so, immediately you hear the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are sharing the benediction. What comes into your mind? Oh, that's benediction. No. It is something that makes rich. It is not saying the sign of the cross. No. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, why should you tie the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to his being rich? Investigate the scripture. Question the scripture. It is that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that makes him rich. There is grace called the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the sign of the cross. It is something unique about Jesus Christ. It is something unique that Jesus, if you like, carry. We carry grace. Keep carrying it. And let it not translate into your pocket. For you know the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. For you know the thing that is so unique about Jesus Christ that makes him rich. So you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in that whilst he was rich, for your sake, became poor so that you might become rich. Oh, so I can become rich? How? Through the poverty of our Lord Jesus Christ, I can become rich. We are still questioning, investigating the scripture. So we can become rich. How? Through the poverty of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, but he decided, I'm going to exchange my being rich to this poor, so that instead of them being poor, they will take on my thing that makes them rich. A certain exchange, a certain transfer. This passage is talking about so many things, including majorly an exchange. That Jesus has something, not that he didn't want it, but he wanted to give it to us. And until he became poor, we would never have it. Until he became poor, we would never be rich. So the question you must be asking is, when did Jesus become poor so that I become rich? That should be your question. When did Jesus become poor so that I become rich? This is in the Bible. And it's Paul the apostle who is trying to bring it out. Jesus had come, taught on economics, taught on prosperity. But like the church today, many of his followers didn't get it. They couldn't understand him. How could Jesus, on a sermon of the mountain, Luke chapter 6 verse 38, tell poor people, eat and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, shall make it. You are telling poor people, give and it shall be given unto you. And it's in levels. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 is telling us something, a package. Once upon a time, Jesus was rich. We were poor. Then he decided to exchange his riches for our poverty.
Voice of Possibility will be back soon. We hope you are being blessed by this message. For counseling or further inquiries, there are ministers of God just waiting to hear from you. Call after this broadcast on the following hotlines: 0249-03-9193 or 0274-810065. Welcome back to Voice of Possibility.
Question we should be asking is, when did Jesus do this exchange? When did Jesus do this transfer so that we might become rich? When did he do that? What was the occasion? Well, good news. The occasion was the cross. The cross effect. Amen. Please, to further understand 2 Corinthians 8, 9, there's a question we must answer. Jesus was rich, became poor, so that we might become rich through his poverty. We need to understand the mission of Jesus Christ. Hello? We need to understand the work of Jesus Christ. Why did he come at all? The mission of Jesus Christ was declared in what I call his manifesto. If you understand the manifesto of Jesus Christ, then you will know his mission. I mean his work on earth. So don't forget the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet became poor for our sakes, so that through his poverty we might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. The scripture is telling us something that Jesus did on our behalf so that we might move from poverty and to becoming rich. It gives us a reason for his manifesto. So we are looking at two things: a manifesto, and number two, its effect. Amen. A manifesto is a public declaration. Hear me, you don't hide manifesto. You don't hide manifesto. You don't hide manifesto. You make it public. It's a public declaration of your intention. What is the effect of a manifesto? It's simply for assessment. The effect of manifesto is to assess The one who declared the manifesto. That is why it's a public document. It has to be declared. And in that manifesto, we are able to trace you. Oh, okay, this is what you want to do. After some time, we shall assess you by what you have said. And Jesus Christ came to save us. In Luke 19:10, we saw a statement of intent. Luke 19:10, he says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And again, some will hear, "Seek that which to save the sinner." No, 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 no. Listen to the scripture. To seek and to save that which was lost. The question is, what was lost? In John 10:10, another statement. "For the thief came not to save, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more." All these were public statements. People heard him. Then in Luke chapter 4, please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, we saw a comprehensive statement, very detailed statement of Jesus' intention, why he came. You know, in chapter 4 of Luke, Jesus had been baptized by John Baptist. And then from there, he went for 40 days to prepare himself. Spiritually speaking, immediately he came back from 40 days of fasting and prayers, he went straight to his hometown. That was his constituency. He went to his constituency and then entered the synagogue, the temple. And then he picked the book of Isaiah and began to read from verse 18. Luke chapter 4 from verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The grace of God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then verse 20, he closed the book and he gave it to the temple captain and sat down. Then the eyes of everyone was fixed on him. What is he about to say? Verse 21, "And Jesus began to say unto them, This day, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. Look up." And they got angry with him. Amen? So this was a public statement, the first major public statement. Why first? Because when he came from the mountain, 40 days, went into the synagogue, and he declared. That's what I call the manifesto of Jesus. Let's examine the thematic areas. Six major thematic areas. Number one, "I have come to preach the gospel to the poor." That's the first one. That's to let you know that Jesus had the poor in mind. He came to fix poverty. Number two, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Three, "To preach deliverance to captives." Four, "Recovery of sight to the blind." As I preach that, some people are recovering their sight. You are seeing the light. For the first time you are hearing in church, "Wow, this is so true. I can be rich." Yes. Recovery of sight. You are gaining your sight. Number five, "To set at liberty those who are bruised." And number six, "Preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Amen. Now look up. Let me explain. So this was after 40 days in the wilderness. If you look at the six major areas, the first item on the list was poverty eradication. The first agenda. Please, Jesus Christ, your Savior, came with an agenda. And the first major agenda was to preach the gospel to the poor. That's poverty eradication. Look at me. This is my take. Once the poverty situation is solved, all the others will line up. Poverty is a major killer. Go to the hospitals. People die because they don't have the money to pay their bills. May the Lord help us. May we have more than enough. Amen. On top of the list is poverty eradication. Then we have healing, deliverance, recovery of sight, and all of that. Amen. So right there in Matthew chapter 11, the assessment was made. And Jesus, they saw it. Said, wow, really? It's happening. It is happening. It is happening. Amen. So has the preaching of the gospel benefited the poor church worker? That question will be answered as we go on. But I'd like you to know this, that Jesus came to work. He declared his intention in a manifesto. That manifesto is so that we will assess him after many years. And as a good economist, he put poverty eradication on top of his manifesto. Amen. He went to the cross with us in mind. I'll be telling us next week how poverty was crucified on the cross. Jesus hung there naked. That's a depiction of poverty. That's a portrait of poverty. He hung there naked. Naked. He was rendered vulnerable. Amen. We must understand that Jesus did not only die to save our sin, but he died to save us from poverty. The prayer of Apostle John, the beloved, to Brother Gaius, 3 John, verse 2, I believe captures the intention of Jesus perfectly for the church. And this is the prayer. I pray and I wish above all things, Brother Gaius, you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This is a man who had been with Jesus. He was declared the beloved apostle. John, he wrote this. When Brother Gaius fell sick, he said, look, my prayer for you is that you will be well, that you will prosper, even as your soul prospers. In other words, your physical needs will be met, even as your spiritual need has been met. Amen. Spirit, soul, body. Total well-being. That is what is called abundant life. Life overflowing. Would you stand on your feet and declare this prayer after me? Say after me, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God, for sending Jesus Christ to die for me. I receive the full package of my salvation, the abundant life. I declare every shortage, every scarcity associated with my life is hereby over. I declare and confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior indeed. I will walk with him all the rest of my life. So help me God. The Lord bless you. Take your seat.
Now, you have been charged to go and discharge. For counseling, fellowship, or further inquiries, there are ministers of God just waiting to hear from you. Call now on the following hotlines. 0249-039193 or 0274-810065. Beloved, you have been listening to Voice of Possibility with Reverend Jonathan Kwabla Afrik Ahali of ICGC Possibility Worship Temple, Dansoman, Accra, Ghana. Faith comes by hearing and hearing again. We encourage you to get the full edition of this message and other series by Reverend Afrik from ICGC Possibility Worship Temple, Dansoman, near the Dansoman Kipit Park, We welcome you to our following services. Sunday service at 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. for the first service and 10 a.m. to 12 noon for the second service. Our Wednesday services are from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. For further information, contact us on 0249-039193 or 0274-810065. Possibility, a city set on a hill, your church in Dunsuman, where God makes every worshiper a possibility. God richly bless you.